Appreciate the opportunity to be here. And as a lot of you do know, I traveled as an evangelist for quite a few years, and the Lord led us back into the pastorate about a year ago. And we're thankful for the leading of the Lord and the way God has worked in those matters. And appreciate your pastor and the great work that God has done here through the years. I can't remember how many years exactly, but it's been, I've known Brother Ennis quite some time. I remember y'all came and I believe bought a bookstore from us from down in Greenville. And I don't know, that has probably been, well, I'm not going to say how long. It's just been a long time ago. Amen. And anyhow, we are glad to be here and count it a privilege and thank the Lord for you being here, and I trust that the Lord will speak to your heart. My only desire is that the Lord Jesus might be exalted, that he might be lifted up in some way. I trust that he will be, that God can speak through us to your heart. I want you to turn to two passages of Scripture we'll read tonight for the message that we feel the Lord has directed our hearts to, and we'll be preaching tonight. I want to read some Scripture from Exodus chapter 16, and then I'll also be reading in John's Gospel chapter number 6. Exodus chapter number 16, and then in John's Gospel, chapter number 6. And I want you to notice with me, beginning in Exodus 16 and in verse number 11. Exodus 16 and verse number 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass, at even the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And then in verse 31, And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. John's Gospel chapter 6 and verse number 47, Jesus said this, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for your great kindness and mercy. Lord, we're humbled to be here tonight. God, undeserving. Lord, so unworthy of all of your mercies and all of your grace. I pray, God, that you could take this vessel of clay, speak through us some word tonight that would be a blessing and encouragement to the hearts of your children. But I pray more than anything of all that our blessed Lord would be exalted, that he would be seen and magnified. For we ask it in his wonderful name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on Christ, the living bread. Jesus said, your fathers ate this manna in the wilderness and they're all dead. But he said that I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And he said that if you eat of this bread, you'll live forever. Amen. Jesus is the living bread. Amen. There's a lot of examples in the Bible, a lot of symbols, if you will, of the person and the work of our blessed Lord. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. He said that I am the light of the world. He said in another place that he was living water, amen. And if you drink of him, you'll not thirst again. Amen. He said to the woman at the well. He said in John chapter 10, I believe it is, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I like the little song the children sing sometimes. One door and only one, and yet its sides are two, inside and outside. On which side are you? One thing about it, you cannot be on both sides at the same time. You've got to be on one side or the other, amen. And Jesus is the door, but he is the living bread. That's wonderful to see how that he is portrayed so often in the Old Testament scriptures. So many vivid examples given of him and his person. And when you look in Exodus chapter number 16, we see several things that I believe that certainly give a likeness of our precious Lord. How this manna, Jesus said that I am like that manna, except that when they ate that bread, they died. Yep. But when you eat of me, you'll live forever. How is Jesus like that manna in the Old Testament? Well, I believe when you look at it, that you'd have to say that he is certainly was typified by that manna in the Old Testament. When you think about the strangeness of that manna that fell, certainly that was a strange thing that took place there. The Bible said it was so strange that when Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. They said, we don't even know for sure what this is, they said. It was strange to them. They said, my, what is this? And that's why where the name manna came from. That's literally what it means. What is it? What is it? And you know, they said, basically the same thing about our Lord when he showed up on the scene. The Bible said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They really didn't know him. They didn't know who he really was. He told them who he was, but somehow he seemed foreign to them. I think about where Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, amen. Oh yes, how strange it was. You say, what do you mean strange? Well, it was strange in the direction that it came from. You know, when you think about bread, normally we think about something that grows from the earth, amen. You put the wheat or the corn in the ground and it produces, and then you harvest the grain and you take it to the mill and you grind it up and you make the cornmeal or the flour out of it. And so that kind of bread originates from the earth. It's earthly, if you will. Oh, but this bread did not originate from the earth, but it came down from heaven. Amen. Oh, yes, came down from heaven's glory, if you will. Jesus left the bosom of the Father and all of his glory and laid it aside for a little while. Amen. He thought it made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of sinful mankind. Oh, my, made in the likeness of flesh. He was flesh. He was all God and he was all man. 100% God and 100% man at the same time. He was also, it was strange, not only in the direction that it came from, but strange in the description that God gives of this manna in verse 31. He tells us that it was several things about it, that it was round. By being round, I think that speaks of his eternalness. Amen. Anything that's round speaks of eternity. That's why when my wife and I got married, she gave me a wedding band as a symbol of her love. And that wedding band is round. And actually, it means there's no end to it. It just keeps going round and round and round. And that's kind of what we've been doing now for a little over 40-some years. We've just been going round and round, amen. And we're still going round. And by the grace of God, trust that we'll continue to go round and round, amen. And so Jesus is the eternal Son of God. And then the Bible said it was white. That speaks, of course, of his purity. But what really caught my attention was when I looked at that little word, it said it was like coriander seed. And, of course, the first time I read that, I really wasn't even sure what a coriander seed was. I didn't have a clue. And so I looked up the word coriander and found that the word coriander meant a cutting from its furrows or to gash by pressing into it. And then one day I was looking up on a little spice rack, and lo and behold, there was a bottle of coriander seed on the spice rack. And so I took the bottle of coriander seed down and dumped a few of them out in my hand. And you know what I saw when I looked at the little coriander seed? I saw that all the way around that little bitty seed, it looked like furrows were cut into it. Furrows, even it furrows across that little seed. And oh, I got to thinking about that. And oh, my friend, you say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I thought about that verse over in Psalm 129 where the psalmist prophesied of the sufferings of Christ. And he said, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. And I got to thinking about how that, isn't it not amazing that when that little manna fell down out of heaven, that in that mold or in that whatever God baked it in glory, amen, that he made it so that it had little furrows all the way around it. And I believe it spoke of the suffering of the Son of God, that on his back they would literally plow his back up with a cat of nine tails, just like a farmer would go out and plow up a field, amen. Oh, friend, I'm telling you tonight, you think about it, that it was speaks of the suffering of the Son of God. Strange this manna was. Oh, unusual. But it spoke of him. But then I thought also it represents Christ, not only in the strangeness of it, but in the sending of it, the way that it was sent. You see, back in Exodus chapter number 16, the Bible says God, when he spoke to Moses to speak to Israel, he said, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel." In other words, this manna that God sent in the Old Testament came as a result not of something good that they had done, but it was sent in response to their sin. They had sinned against God. They had grumbled against God. They had murmured against God. But God, instead of sending wrath and instead of God pouring out judgment at this time, God in his mercy opened up the windows of heaven, and in response to their sin, he sent them manna. He sent them living bread. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was sent to us not in response to something good we had done, but he came to us in response to our sin, because we were sinful and undeserving, wicked, deserving to go to hell, deserved the wrath of God, deserved the judgment of God, and yet God, in his love and his mercy, opened up heaven and sent the bread of God to us. Amen. Oh yes, it was not deserved. It was not deserved. No, no. It also, when it came in the darkness. It came before the daylight, before the sun got up and got hot. It came in the darkness, amen. And all this bread that God sent, this living bread, comes into the darkness of this world of sin. And he comes into the darkness of our lives. And praise God, dispels the darkness. Amen. And gives light and life and freedom and liberty. And also the Bible said when it fell, that it came on the dew. In other words, that the manna, it did not fall in the dirt, but it fell on the dew. Amen. So a couple things you could say about that bread, I think, in response to that, is that by falling on the dew, it wasn't dirty. And it wasn't dry. Amen. It wouldn't make your throat stick together when you tried to eat it. Amen. And I'm glad the living bread, praise God, he's holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners. But also, I'm so thankful. Praise God, he's not dry either. Praise the Lord. Thank God, as you were talking about that Holy Spirit a while ago, brother. The presence of God, and that dew, by the way, is representative of the Spirit of God. And Jesus was anointed. He said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel." The Spirit of God came down in the Jordan River that day. When John the Baptist was there with Christ, John said, "I bear record." He said, "I saw it with my own eyes." He said the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove and abode upon him. And I heard a voice from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Amen. So he came on the dew. Came on the dew. Not only does it represent him because it was strange in the way it was sent, but it also represents him in its sweetness. The Bible said it tasted like wafers made with honey. It tasted like wafers made with honey. Now that would be pretty sweet, wouldn't you say? That would be pretty sweet. And there's nobody sweet as Jesus. Praise the Lord. Nobody sweet as him. There's nobody like him. You know, it's interesting that, you know, they've left Egypt now, and they're journeying, and they're on their way to the land of Canaan. And God had described the land of Canaan to them. And the Lord had told them that this land that he was leading them to was a land that flowed with milk and honey.
Yes.
And so en route along the journey toward that land, God decides to feed them with something that tastes like honey.
Amen.
In other words, it's almost like every time they went out and they gathered up some of that manna and they ate it, put it in their mouth, and they tasted it, it was like God said, "Now I want you to know, over yonder across the river, there's a whole lot more of what you've just tasted." In other words, this is just a taste of what I've got waiting over yonder in the promised land. Amen. And I know Canaan is not a perfect type of heaven, not by any means. But I'm telling you, thank God, I'm glad along the journey, along the way, that the Lord gives us a little taste every once in a while. Praise God, he'll give you a little honey for the journey. Amen. He'll give you a little sweetness every once in a while. Every once in a while, he'll give you a little, as that song says, a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. He'll give you a little a sweetness, just a little, to want to encourage you to go on for him. And so it represented him in the sweetness of it. Then it also, I think, it was like Christ in the way God situated it when he put it in the camp. In other words, the Lord, when the manna came down, he didn't put it up in the top of a tall tree somewhere, but the Bible says that it fell on the dew. In other words, it was down. Down there on the ground is where it came. That's where the Lord put it. And by doing that, he put it within the reach of everybody.
Amen.
You see, he put it in a situation. He so situated this bread that anybody could reach it.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody could reach it. Aren't you glad tonight he's within reach?
Yes.
Aren't you glad he's within reach?
Yes.
Paul said, don't say, do I have to ascend into heaven to bring Christ down from above or descend into the deep? Oh, no. He said the word is nigh thee.
Amen.
The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You don't have to go to the Holy Land to find Jesus tonight. Praise God. He's as close as the tongue that's in your mouth.
Amen.
And as close as the heart that beats in your breast tonight. He's that close tonight. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
He is within reach tonight. Aren't you glad you can reach him? Praise the Lord. Oh, he can be reached tonight. And you know, as I think about that, you know, really the only thing you had to do, you know, was you had to be willing just to, you had to be willing to buy. If you're going to get this bread, you got to bend. Amen. You just got to be willing to bend. That's all. You got to bend. You got to bow. Bow before him.
Amen.
May as well. May as well go ahead and do it.
Amen.
Because ultimately, every knee is going to.
Amen.
And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
to the glory of God the Father. Oh, yes. Ultimately, every knee will bow. So why not go ahead and bow now? Amen. Just bow now. You know, Jesus gave that parable about the wheat and the tares. And he was talking about how to, you know, they said, what we're going to do. And he said, well, don't go out there right now and try to get all the tares out. Do you going to tear up a lot of good wheat?
Yeah.
Amen. He said, you're just going to have to let them grow till harvest together.
Yeah.
He said, just going to have to let them grow up till harvest. Because he said, you see, it wasn't till the harvest that you could really distinguish for sure which was wheat and which was tares.
Amen.
Because when the harvest came, it became obvious
which
was wheat, because it had a wheat ear on it. I mean, it had a head of wheat grain on it. So you knew that it was wheat. Amen. It became obvious at the harvest. It's time to harvest it. Well, the thing about it, what that does to wheat when it comes into full harvest, it makes it top heavy. It makes it top heavy. And so, by naturally, when it gets full, its head is going to bend over.
Yeah.
Its head is going to bow. Amen. Especially if you get a good breeze blowing across the field.
Amen.
Its head is going to bend. It's going to bow. Praise God. Real wheat will bow before him. Amen. Worship him.
Amen.
He's worthy.
Right.
He's worthy tonight.
Right.
And so God put it in a place where everybody could get it. And then let me give you this thought, and then we'll move on here. And I want you to think about the salvation that was in it. You know, it became literally what saved them from starvation in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Was the manna. And the manna, you know, it fell once they got out of Egypt. They didn't get it in Egypt, but once they got out of Egypt, they began to eat the manna. And so, you know, you can't eat manna and live in bondage. Amen.
Right.
Manna is for people that have been delivered.
Amen.
And so it was their only means of survival. And it was only there for a limited amount of time.
That's right.
Because when the sun came up and it got hot, the Bible said it melted. It went away.
Yep.
And so today is the day of salvation.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And now is the accepted time.
Amen.
You see, God gave them manna for that day.
Amen.
Matter of fact, they couldn't even go gather enough for 2 days. Or it wouldn't, it just didn't work. It would stink. God said there'll be some more in the morning. Amen. But it was there for a period of time. But you had to get it before the sun got hot, or it would melt. It'd be gone. And so there's a period of time in life. God gives us time. God gives us life. He gives us opportunities. And the Spirit of God speaks to heart. And, you know, the Lord said, now is the accepted time.
Amen. That's right.
God never promised anybody tomorrow. He never promised them next week, next year, next month. But he did promise you right now that he was there.
Amen.
And if you're just willing to admit your need and that you're hungry and that you need a Savior, willing to bow your knee before him, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, thank God you can experience this living bread.
Amen.
That came
Amen.
Down from
Amen.
Heaven.
Amen.
He's a wonderful Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your mercies to us. We thank you for the lovely Lord Jesus. There's nobody like him. God, we pray that you'll take this few thoughts here tonight Lord, and use them, God, to not only be a blessing in the hearts of your children, I pray. But God, if there's somebody in this service tonight that never has trusted you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that you'll speak to their heart. Lord, that you'll show them their great need, that they'll have a desire even now to want to come and partake of the Lord Jesus, that living bread. Lord, that if they eat of him, they'll never die. Lord, we thank you for the promise of eternal, everlasting life that we have in Jesus. Thank you, God, for all your goodness and mercy. I do pray now your richest blessings upon this pastor and this meeting, and bless our dear brother who will be coming in a little while to speak. God bless him, anoint him. God bless everything that's to follow in the remaining part of this service, that you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.